Woe to you. Woe to you when all people speak well of you. For so their fathers did to the false prophets. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. And it is in your name we pray these things. Amen. Morning.
Morning.
You are awake. Let's see if we can keep you that way, huh? All right. Blankets and pillows will be available. No. Don't put your hands up. No volunteers. You know, there are just some things in the Bible that are harder than others. You realize that? I do. There are a whole bunch of it in there that just confront me and hit me between my eyes and cause me no end of consternation. Because invariably, when I'm looking at them, I have that distinctive feeling that there's no way possible for this old Polish priest to fulfill them. How about you, Father Steve? Same. I know my brother back here, we both strain under this. I think it's just the curse of all clergy. We know how inadequate we really are. And this passage from Luke's gospel that is called the Sermon on the Plain, coupled together with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel, presents to us some very tough stuff when trying to measure whether or not we can measure up or not. Now, there's a bit of question, I won't call it controversy necessarily, but there's a little bit of question here and there as to these two particular scripture lessons. I remember back in the early 1970s, I was pastoring in rural Iowa, and there was an interdenominational study that was out, two volumes, that went for 12 weeks. And I remember doing it with a whole variety of different pastors and denominational folk and whatnot in the community I was pastoring in, including Roman Catholics. And I went looking for those two books here several weeks ago when this was popping up in my lectionary readings. Alex, I couldn't find them. They must have been part of the 12,000 that didn't make the move. That's all I can say. Andrea is very good to me. She let me take 1,000 volumes out of my library. Very gentle she was, but very insistent. I wish I had those books. I remember them so well. As they tried to coordinate between those two sermons and try to get us to understand exactly what Jesus was trying to accomplish with us. Because they're very troublesome. And the purpose of that study was to make us to understand how we as Christian communities working together could make them reality in the life of our communities, in the life of our churches, in the lives of our people. I still remember them so fondly from back in 71 and 72. But you know, there's a problem with those particular lessons. Because some people have this false idea that all we've got to do is take those eight Beatitudes from Matthew and the four from Luke. And oh yes, we've got to deal with the woes. Can't leave the woes out. And we combine them all together. And you know, if we can make them a checklist, and somehow if we just do these things, okay, they'll serve for us as sort of like a road map into eternity, into heaven. All we got to do is just punch the list. It's sort of like the false impression some people have of the, you know, the Ten Commandments. You know, pick seven, any seven you want, right? Yeah. And all we got to do is do that, and then we're going to waltz into eternity with God. Well, that is just as false as a belief that the Sermon on the Mount, and yes, this Sermon on the Plain from Luke, is a very similar checklist, that all we got to do is to get there by doing these things. Martin Luther, writing in his commentary a long time ago, understood this very well, and he should, because, you know, before Martin Luther broke and established his movement in the Reformation, he was a very faithful monk. He wasn't a priest, he was a monk. And he went about all over the place doing acts of mercy, contributing to the good for other people. He was doing what we would call social action, trying to take care of the most impoverished and those who are being brutalized by the time. As he writes in his commentary, but that is not the pathway to God. He came to understand. Martin writes instead that the only way is to reflect on what Jesus did in John's Gospel chapter 3. Remember that event? There was a man who came to Jesus by night by the name of Nicodemus. And he said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Teacher, you're such a good guy. Tell me, how do I do this?" And Jesus' response was, "Well, go do these 12 things or 14 things or 30 things or whatever it was, and you'll have eternal life." No. What did Jesus say? "You must be born again." I know people today have problems with that in the same way and ask similar questions like Nicodemus did way back then in Jesus' time. But folks, there is no secret about this, and this is something we must never lose sight of. All of these wonderful things that we are doing, things that we will promote during the announcement time, things that we do that are so good and proper, whatever they are, all of them will not get us into eternity with God. They're not going to. If we are not in a personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. Full stop. That is the foundation upon which we must live. That is the foundation upon which we must move, yes, to take care of the least of these, my brethren. But the first things first is a personal living relation of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. Now, some of you know, and because I've talked about it before to you personally, that a number of years ago, actually 19 years after my ordination, I've been pastoring. I got this letter in the mail from someone who was concerned about me. And they wanted to know whether or not I knew Jesus as my personal Savior or not. Now think about this. I was a social warrior involved in feeding and hunger programs and interdenominational stuff and interfaith stuff. And I was a community organizer and all kinds of activities in the social world. There are all kinds of signs and symbols, you know, housing, on and on and on, I was engaged in. And I get this letter asking whether or not I knew Jesus. 19 years a priest. Some years later, I was recounting this story to a couple of guys who I've working on a project with in evangelism. And they both shook their heads and said, "We'd been ordained Episcopal priests for about 5 years before we became Christian, before we gave Jesus our heart." My mom wasn't wrong in writing to me. You see, my mom wrote that letter. Her oldest son. But she also wrote it to my two brothers and sister as well. Because her purpose was that we all would be together in eternity with Christ. And she understood and she continues to understand that unless we are born again, unless we are totally in union with Jesus Christ, we will not see eternity with Christ. That is an essential that cannot be covered up, soft-soled, or in any way diminished by this or any other denominational church. And yet, on a very regular basis, it is. It is. I look around and see what holy innocence is engaged in, and my heart just does flip-flops in joy. You know that. I am so proud of this church, this parish church. I am so pleased with our rector to no end and his leadership. And totally united with his vision for your future. Make no mistake about it. But it begins with him as it does with me. And a personal, religious, full relationship with Jesus Christ. And everything else is flowing out of it. And for those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, you know it too. But just like my mother did, we won't talk about how many years ago it was. It's been a few. I've had my golden jubilee, by the way, you know. But just like my mother did so long ago, I'm asking you right now to reconsider where you're at. Have you just been punching a number on the list, thinking that you're going to find your way into eternity with Christ by doing that? Or have you established a living relationship with Jesus Christ? We are called individually, severally, and together to do that. My prayer, as always, is the same one my mother had for her family. For this family and every family I've ever pastored. That we all would be united in Christ. With that foundation allowing us to move forward and all other things flow forth from it. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.